You have your Bibles. Would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11? We're kind of continuing our series through the book of Hebrews. And since in chapter 11, we're talking about faith. And this morning, we're going to try to apply it to mothers as much as we can. But I wanted to keep going on through our series to try to finish this series rather soon so that when we get into June, we're not going too far into June with it. And then I can begin a summer series as soon as I can finish up what we have here left in the book of Hebrews. So follow along with me as I read it, and then we will pray. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By this he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. By faith, Abraham, even though was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Now, it's difficult in all of Hebrews 11 to know where to break the passage, but I've chosen to break it there simply because the writer puts in that little bit of parenthesis about people and not just by faith someone. And so anyways, we're going to go that far. Next week, we'll pick it up again with Abraham and Noah and the rest of our faith. Abraham and Moses and the rest of them and look at the rest of them. But this morning, we're going to look at just this passage. And let me pray to ask blessings of God upon this time. Father, I pray that by the power of your Spirit and the truth of your word, you would be able to speak through me and empower me to bring forth the message which you have given unto me. We thank you, Father, this morning for the mothers which you have blessed us with. We do especially thank you for those who've had the faith to make impact and to challenge and to impact our faith. Father, we come this morning to pay tribute to them, but also to look through your word, to see what it is to live our lives by faith. Father, this morning again, I pray that you would not only be with me and that you would bless this word, but you would bless those who would hear of it. And Father, you would be glorified in the time that we are together as we seek to honor and to praise your name. We pray all of this in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ and give him glory. In the name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen. Well, it is Mother's Day this morning, and I did want to try to put together a Mother's Day message, but I still wanted to continue in the book of Hebrews so that we can get through that as quickly as what we could. So I entitled my message this morning, A Mother's Faith. Now, in order to talk about a mother's faith, I could have gone to many other passages in scriptures because scriptures have many passages which speak of the faith of our mothers. I could have turned to Moses For his mother saw that he was no ordinary child and did not fear the king's edict. And I believe she raised Moses as much as she could in the understanding of who he was as a child of God and as an Israelite, a young Jewish boy in the land of Egypt. Or what about Hannah, who with anguish uttered her prayers in the front of the priest, and the priest kind of condemned her, thinking she was drunk, and as a result of the interchange, she received his blessing and then was able to conceive, and she received Samuel, of which she raised and then brought back to the temple because she had promised him to God. Or what about Daniel's mother? She was able to raise a young child until the age of possibly 15, 16. We don't know how old Daniel was when the Babylonians came in and took him from his homeland and took him into a foreign country and said, "You're going to be raised to be different." Said, "You're going to be raised a Babylonian here. You need to eat our food and partake in our activities and our festivities." And Daniel says, "Can we try something different? Let's try it. Let's just see what God will do." And Daniel was able to oppose the edict of the king of Babylon. And God honored Daniel's faith and proved to the king the validity of Daniel's faith. Or mothers, which one of you would not this morning maybe cringe or at least rejoice in the preaching of Proverbs 31, right? How many of you read that and think, "Boy, if only I could attain that standard." As we look at the faith of the Proverbs 31 woman who takes care of her kids and yet has her own business and does her own work outside of the home, and yet her children rise up and call her blessed. Is that not the cry of all mothers would want to hear? Or even what of Timothy, who was reminded of his sincere faith by the Apostle Paul and how that faith began in his grandmother Lois and was passed down through his mother Eunice and then passed on to Timothy. And Paul said, "Timothy, fan into flames the faith that's been passed on to you by your mother." And so we see, or even to go to, I believe it is 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul says, "I came among you like a mother, gently caring for you, like a mother would care for her child. And as a father would correct them and discipline them." And so we see there's all kinds of passages in the scripture that I could have chosen this morning to speak to and to speak about the faith of a mother. This morning what I want to do, and I've chosen to do it from Hebrews chapter 7, just to continue in the Hebrews chapter 7 passage. But before I do that, I want to do this, if I could this morning. If you're here and your mother happens to be here, would you look over or would you somehow reach up to them or find somebody around you that's a mother and say, "You're blessed. Thank you." Would you just do that to somebody? For do we not need to share in the understanding that children are a blessing from the Lord and that we need to give thanks to God for them? I recognize this morning, and we'll get into it a little bit when we get to Sarah, that at the same time I recognize in my many years of ministry, I've come across many of those whose Mother's Day is a very hard day because for them the blessings of childbirth was not given to them by God. For those who wrestle through infertility and wrestle through the understanding of why, if it's a blessing, didn't God bless me? We need to recognize also this morning God's blessing upon them in spite of it. God still blesses you. And so we want to be able to recognize that as well. So now, having said that, and if you've turned with me to Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse 7, I want you to follow with me. As we look now at what I've given to you to be four characteristics of faith, not just for mothers, but specifically this morning applied to mothers, as we want to look at this morning. And so the first characteristic of faith that I put down, as we look at verse 7, "By faith Noah, when warned about the things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family." Put down here, the first characteristic of faith that I put is the fact that faith acts without seeing. It acts without seeing. By faith, Noah built an ark without seeing when he was warned about the things not yet seen. So we recognize that even though Noah didn't know what was going to happen or what was coming ahead, or he couldn't see the future, all he knew was that God had promised him, that God had warned him that he's going to destroy the earth by a flood. And Noah, you need to get your family together and you need to build an ark. Again, I could state a lot on that. What I want to do is I want to take the time to look at Noah this morning in just a couple of areas. And I put down here that Noah acted based upon the warning of God. The warning of God which came from the Word of God. As God looked around him and he saw the society around him and he saw things decaying and he saw what was happening in Genesis chapter 6, and basically it was not pleasing to God. God decided he had to do something about it, and he chose Noah as the one who was a righteous man to build for him the ark. And unfortunately, I have to say this morning, as I look at society around me and as I think of the things that are happening, and yes, I'm getting older every year, aren't we all? And yes, I know my hair is no longer the color it was when I was younger, and yes, I've had a chance to not just be a parent, but now a grandparent. And my point is, my perspective's changed. And I want to say, things aren't the way they used to be. Any amens for that? And I want to still say, what's wrong with Leave It to Beaver and Ma Cleaver and Ward Cleaver, is her name, I was heard, Ruth or June, or June Cleaver and Ward Cleaver? What was wrong with that? For how many would say, I'd love to go back to those simpler days and those simpler times. Those are not the time in which we live. And so mothers, as you influence your children by your faith, you do so with them living in a hostile world to the things of faith. Your faith goes contrary to everything that this world is trying to teach them. And God warns us. I could turn us to 1 Timothy chapter 3, that in the last days there will be terrible times, and read through what's going to happen. I could turn to other passages that talk about there will be peril. Jesus even warned it, that in the end you will have trials and tribulations, but take heart, I've overcome it. And so mothers, it's your faith that will enable your children to go through this society and all that it brings about them. My prayer would be heeding the warnings that God gives, as God warned Noah. And Noah acted upon that which God had told him. And Noah was able to do the work that God had called him to do. And notice that he was based on warning, but it was also based on reverence. Noah, by faith, when warned about the things not seen, in holy fear. Now, the word there, usually the Greek word for fear is phobos, from which we get, you know, what is it, homophobic, or, I'm sorry, that shouldn't even have come out, but the word for fear, okay? All right, claustrophobic, agoraphobic, all these fears that we have, all right, is the word for fear. But that's not the word used here. The word used here is a word to understand the meaning reverence. It was an idea of the reverence given up unto God by Noah. Not simply that he was afraid of what was going to happen out of fear, but that he was reverently submissive and obedient unto God. So it was his reverence before God that enabled him as well to go about the work of building the ark. Now, hopefully if you take home and you do these as your quiet time, or you do it in a small group this week, one of the things that we want to look at is this question, all right? Not only did Noah build the ark in the midst of opposition and spurning, and Noah, what you building? All right, you got to understand, he's building a boat in the middle of the desert. So you try to explain to somebody how God tells you. My daughter watched a couple of weeks ago, was watching the movie, The Mighty Evan or whatever, something like that, where Evan the Almighty or Evan the Mighty, whatever, Evan Almighty. So it's kind of like, this is weird. Why would God have, you know, this congressman? And believe me, I don't believe it at all is theologically sound, other than the fact that it kind of says, what would it be like if God actually told you to go build an ark? And how would you do that? But imagine God telling you to build an ark in Phoenix, in the middle of the desert, because it's going to flood. The other thing is not just the amazing part of that of Noah, but it's also as well. Let me ask you the question, how long did it take? Most scholars believe that it took 125 years for Noah to build the ark. 125 years. Noah kept at it. Kept doing it. Good days and bad days. Days he had blisters, days the blisters popped. Noah kept at it. And so my challenge to you mothers is, as we look at Noah and the faith that Noah had, based upon Noah's reverent faith in God, he continued to act on what God had him to do, even when he couldn't see the results. There's a lot today about vision. Casting vision, having vision, you know, determining God's vision for your life. And there's a lot to be said about that. I understand that. But I have to let you know, I'm not a pastor of great vision. I'm simply a pastor who says, this is what God says. Let's see if we can go about doing it. I look at this passage and I say, Noah had a vision to build the boat, but he didn't see where it was going to go or where it was going to take him. Noah just consistently kept on by faith, acting on what God called him to do, even though he couldn't see the results. He didn't know how this was going to end. He didn't know what was going to end up like. He didn't know where it was going to go. All he knew was God had warned him. And in reverent fear, Noah continued to just do what God told him to do. Obey God. Stick with God. Do what God says. And lastly, I put down here, Noah acted based on his salvation. Based on the fact that by his faith, he was able to condemn the world and become an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. Noah's faith acted on that which God had told him to do. And in the end, Noah was able to receive the heirship to give on life in this world. There is a certain sense in which how many of us would trace our lineage back to Abraham, or back to Adam? Right? For an Adam, all men were born, right? In reality, our lineage goes back to Noah. Have all men died? So I don't want to get theological there. I just want to make a point, right? Just kind of think about that. But Noah's faith was able to bring them to salvation. And if I had the time to have you turn back to Genesis chapter 6 and 7, when all of a sudden, what's this? A little rain coming from the skies, and all of a sudden a lot of rain coming from the skies, and all of a sudden people are pounding on the door, Noah, let me in! For Noah, by faith, acted on that which God had warned him to do, without seeing the consequences of what was going to happen. Let me go on secondly. Let me back up with that just one moment. For you see, even when we act on faith, there can still be trauma and there can still be difficult days in our lives. Noah had to act on that faith, knowing that this was going to happen, that this was coming. Trying to warn the people, trying to tell the people, trying to exonerate them. Look, you gotta, come on, you gotta believe. And different from Evan Almighty, the people didn't listen to Noah. I like how Evan Almighty's politically correct because they all get in the boat and are all saved. That didn't happen. But we see Noah acted by faith without seeing and was granted the salvation of his family. Pray for your kids. Pray for their salvation, and for those of you who may have kids that are not walking with the Lord, continue to pray for them, not knowing what God has in store for them. Pray in faith that God will act in accordance with your prayers. I'll get to that in a moment as well. Secondly, faith obeys without knowing. We looked at Noah. Let's look at Abraham, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, what did he do? Obeyed and went. So we see Abraham as the characteristic of faith that obeys what God calls him to do. The scripture goes on. Obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Abraham didn't know. Abraham, pack your bags. Why, God? Because I want you to move. Where, God? Don't worry about it. But God, where am I going? Don't worry about it. When I was a younger child, my dad would get us all in the car on usually a Sunday afternoon, maybe after church or after we get home from church. And we'd get in the car and we'd say, where are we going? We're going for a ride. Well, where are we going? You don't need to know. Well, I want to know. Where are we going? Don't worry about it. We all got in the car, and in the back, we would watch where he's going. Oh, he's going this direction. It must be Grandma's house. No, it's not Grandma's house. He went this way. Well, maybe it's the park. No, it's not the park. Maybe he's going to go. And there's a sense in which, for my father, it was a sense in which this is a surprise. Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. But for us in the back seat, it was like, where are we going? I want to know. How many of you are willing to look at your faith as simply a ride God's taking you on? And just trust He knows where He's leading you. Where you're going. How you're going to get there. How He'll get you there. So by faith, Abraham obeyed without knowing. I put down here when he was called. He was called of God. Now, let me come back to this. There's a sense in which when Abraham was called of God to leave his family and go into a promised land, there's a sense in which many of us would say, well, wait a minute, I'm not called to leave my family and go to a promised land, am I? No, probably not. But at the same time, I recognize that there are those children who maybe are called to go to a promised land, to another land in missions or in a call of God upon their lives. And I'll be honest with you, I've seen parents where it can be like, we don't want them to go. Parents, how many of you realize that a part of parenting is letting go? Letting go, not knowing. You do your best. You try your hardest. You teach them the Word of God. And then you let them go. Now, hopefully you always have influence in their life. How many of you say you're always a mother? You're never not a mother. You're always a mother. You're always praying for them. You're always concerned about them. You're always wondering for them. By faith, Abraham was called of God to leave his land, to leave where he grew up, to leave those behind. And it says he obeyed and he went. He went where God called him. He did what God wanted him to do. He simply followed God as God led him where God would have him to be. Now, again, in your small groups, and I hope you guys don't get tired of me referring back to these life groups, but I'll be honest with you. Let me kind of step aside because this is not a part of the message, but let me step aside. I put a lot of work into these, and if you guys just take it home and use it to underneath your bird cage, well, so be it. But at the same time, if you really want to get the benefit out of what the message is all about, then go home and work on this. And if not as a light, if not in a group, then work on it as part of your devotions throughout the week. Because not only because, man, did Don put a lot of work into that, but also because I want you to get the benefit out of what God says. Here's my point. When you turn back to Genesis chapter 12 and Genesis chapter 15 and Genesis chapter 17, where God promises Abraham, not just that I'm going to give you a new land, but what else does he promise him? We're going to get into it in a moment. You're going to be a great nation. And I know I'm getting ahead of myself here, but Abraham did not happen right away. And Abraham had to wait on God. And Abraham waited a few weeks and nothing happened. And Abraham waited a few months and yes, nothing this month. Nope, nothing this month. Nothing this month. And month after month, Abraham kept waiting. Was it this month? Will it be this month? And the answer is always, sorry, Abraham. Not this month. We'll get to that in just a moment because the scriptures goes on. So I don't do that, but I want to say Abraham went and it says he made his home in the promised land. He took what God had given him and where God had directed him and there he made the best of it. He made what God wanted for him to have. He made his home. Now, I don't know, did Abraham put curtains up that everybody's like, oh, I like your curtains, Abraham? Probably not, but Sarah might have. My point is the fact that Abraham followed God, obeyed God, he went and he made, and notice the fourth thing I put down here is he lived. All I did for this was look at all the verbs that Abraham did. This is what I came up with. And then he lived. He lived in tents as Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. So in other words, God led Abraham to a promised land, and he lived in a tent for all of his life. Now, how many of you say, wait a minute, Abraham got shorted just a little bit? Because to me, if I wanted God to lead me, and if I thought God was leading me, I think it would probably be a mansion on a hilltop. For those who would preach that to you today. God wants you to have a mansion on a hilltop. You're the child of a king. You should have the best. You should have the greatest. You should just trust God. And when God leads you, He's not going to lead you to a desert. I'll get to more of that later. So let me ask you, what was Abraham's life like? To live with Sarah year after year after year, not seeing the blessing that God promised to him and continued to live by faith. Last point I want to put down here for Abraham, and then we're going to go on. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. How do we get by the difficult days when the kids are on our ankles and the stove is boiling over and you're like, oh my gosh, I wish I never had done this. Do you not look forward to the hope that someday this will be different? Someday this will all be worth it. Someday maybe I'll have some sanity and some sense of mind. My point is, if by faith, Abraham never really received everything that God had promised him. He just looked forward to it. This was a quote in the commentary I used. It says, "To leave the certainty one knows and go out into what is quite unknown, relying on nothing other than the word of God, relying on nothing other than the word of God, is the essence of faith." As the author sees it, and I'm assuming he's talking about the author here in Hebrews. Faith acts on what God tells us, not always on what we know. Thirdly, this one's going to be a, you guys say, well, this was a stretch, Don. Okay. Faith thinks without possibility. Faith thinks without possibility. Now, if you want to, you can use the word ability. Faith thinks without ability. Let me try to flesh it out if I can, okay? Where'd you get that from, Don? By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was, what's it say? Enabled to become a father was because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. Now, what we need to do is to recognize the fact that if you see here, okay, here's where they come from. He considered him faithful. He thought about the faithfulness of God who had given to him the promise. So he saw that his ability to do what God called him to do was not based upon his ability, but upon God's ability. And so if you want to be a little more tied to the text, maybe you could use the word faith considers without ability. Now, let's think about a minute with the life of Abraham and Sarah. Let me have you just do one thing quickly. I mean, if you have this with you, I want you to turn with me, would you please? Turn to the back side of it. Because there's a textual variant here that the NIV doesn't say. In other words, you can translate it a couple of different ways. If you have it on the back side, you'll see Hebrews 11:11-12. By faith, Abraham, though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. I'm not going to go into all the details, but the Greek literally says something to the effect of the fact that, let me go on, all right. By faith, Sarah herself conceived or received power to conceive even when she was past age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. And so the question is this Abraham's faith or Sarah's faith? For the NIV basically translates, it's Abraham who had the faith and considered him faithful, even though Sarah was not able to conceive. Abraham was still faithful. And the NIV translates it, even Sarah believed when she recognized that she was past the age of conception. And so the question is, who's the one believing here? Now, some scholars say the fact if you take Abraham, it remains consistent throughout the whole passage, because if you continue on, it goes back to by Abraham. Verse 17 picks it back up again. By faith, Abraham. And so they say that's consistent with the flow of the text, to take it as it's Abraham who believed, not Sarah. Now, literally, if I can try to do this without getting too graphic, literally the Greek says that the one who was deposited the spermata. That's what it reads. So who does that biologically? And so scholars believe because it says that they did that, Abraham was the only one who could have done that. Sarah can't do it. She just has to receive it. So the argument was by faith, Abraham was able to enable the conception to occur. Let's face it, we talk about women's midlife crisis. We don't talk about men's midlife crisis, but it happens to guys as well. And Abraham at 100 and Sarah at 90, we look and say, "Shirley, how about it?" All right? Not you, yeah. All right, now, the thing of it is, we all laugh about the fact that how would somebody 90 actually want to even have a baby? But let me put down here, they were promised and they were patient. They were promised by what had God given to them, so they considered the promise that God had given to him, knowing that God was always able. Is God not able to do that which is impossible? Are not all things possible with God? So where do we go with that? The faith healers say, just believe, and God will do it, because all things are possible with God. But this morning we're looking at Abraham and Sarah, and again I picked up Sarah as the example here, because I put down here, Sarah was there, Abraham's one promise, they were patient. Verse 3, they were past. They were past time. It wasn't going to happen. Now let me come back to this, all right? I don't want to belabor this point, but when God made the promise to Abraham, it was possible. Right? Let me see over here. But God made it impossible. He didn't allow it to occur. Now that they are 90, it is impossible for them, but God makes it possible. Dare I ask, why? Now I could open it up to let's vote by proxy here. But can we not say that which we believe is possible means that's what we can do, but that which God believes is impossible is what we need to really trust in? Because if God has to do it, how can it be done? And so I do believe God believes, faith believes God for that which is impossible. For if it's possible, we don't need to believe God. So we come this morning and recognize that Abraham and Sarah's faith thinks about without possibility. This is not possible. How can this happen? Verse 4 I put down there just to keep it consistent in my alliteration. They were pleased. They were promised. They were patient. They waited on God. Which actually, you're going to look at that in your life studies. How much did Sarah really wait on God? You know the story. Okay. And Sarah even and Abraham, remember we laughed with Shirley, you know about Shirley. But what did Sarah do when she was told she was going to give birth? She laughed. And so as I was thinking about this message and as I was preparing it in my head, thinking about it, there are times in which we see that God, that if God's going to do this, it's going to be impossible. And we just simply laugh that God did. Lastly, they were pleased. And so from this one man came the promise. And so from as good as dead. See, that's the laughing part. He's as good as dead. How's this going to happen? Came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. We've looked at Noah. We've looked at Abraham. We've really kind of looked at Sarah. But let me look at the last point, would you please? And this one really blows your mind. Here's what I put down. Faith lives without receiving. Think about that for just a moment. Faith lives without receiving. God, I've cried out to you. God, I've asked you. God, I want you. God, would you please? didn't get it. Faith still believes even when you don't receive. This is the problem I have with the faith healers and their prosperity, health, wealth, and gospel, and prosperity gospel. For they say, if you just believe it, if you just pray, if you just ask God, God will give it all to you. And I'm saying, wait a minute, these people asked and God didn't give it to them. How do you answer verse 13? All these people were still living by faith when they died, and they did not receive the things promised. Come on, Benny Hinn, put that one on a billboard. Come on, Joel Osteen, preach that message. They all lived by faith, but they didn't receive God's promise. But wait a minute, Don. Didn't Jesus say, ask and you shall receive? Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened for you. For God is not a God who withholds good things from his children. There is that truth that when we pray, and when we seek after God, we pray and we seek God and we ask God in faith that he would give it unto us. But we also know that God doesn't always receive. Well, then Jesus is a liar, because he said you would. Jesus promises that if we ask, God will respond. God will answer. If you have faith just the size of a seed of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be moved, and it'll happen. So what do you do when you come to Hebrews 11:13? All these people, but they didn't receive the things promised. Shall we go on? And let the scripture answer our question. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. Do you remember Moses led the people out of Israel? Do you remember what the people were like to Moses? Were they nice to him? No, they grumbled and complained the whole time Moses was leading them. And Moses gets to lead them to the promised land, and they're standing before God and they want water once again. And Moses says, okay, fine, I'll give you water. And he strikes the rock one more time, because that's the way God did it last time. Okay, I will give you water. What happens? Does Moses get to see the promised land? I shouldn't say, does Moses get to go into the promised land? No, does Moses get to see the promised land? Yeah. And so as we live our life here on this earth, we don't always receive, but what we can do is see. Not in this life what God has before us, but in the next life what God has before us. And so Jesus says, don't put your heart in the things of this world. Put your heart in the things of the world that's to come, because this world's going to destroy and be decayed. This world's not going to work. That world, it will be permanent and won't rust and decay. And so they lived their lives without receiving. Jesus said, Abraham did. Abraham did obey God. Abraham did follow God. These people did believe in God. But notice what it says. They admitted that they were aliens and strangers on the earth. People who say such things so that they are looking for a country not of their own they're looking for a country of their own. If they'd been thinking of the country they'd left, they would have gone back. If their mind got so wrapped up into where they were, where was the Israelites? Hey, let's go back to Egypt. It was better back there. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He's prepared a city for them. What's my final point? We trust God, and we by faith believe God, and we by faith ask God. Trusting that God will give to us that which is good and that which is best, and simply receive from God what He gives unto us. For we are aliens and strangers. Can I use the politically incorrect word today? We are immigrants to this earth. We're here illegally, if you ain't even put it that way. But we have a home that's been prepared for us in heaven. Let me conclude with these three verses out of Peter. First Peter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Asia, Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God through the sanctifying work of the Spirit for obedience to Jesus and sprinkling by His blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. What are we all? We're strangers chosen, called by God. Verse 17 and 18. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your life as strangers here in reverent fear. And then, dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God in the day He visits. We are nothing more than strangers passing through to a promised land ahead of us. And by faith, we keep on acting on what God tells us. We keep on obeying when we don't know what God's doing. We keep on as well trusting God, even though we don't know whether He's going to be able to provide for us. And we keep on living our lives in faith of Him. Now, the final question I leave with you as I close my message, and you will discuss in your small groups. Again, another little commercial, just a little push. Is our faith really worth it if the blessings we're going to receive are not on this earth, but in the earth to come after us? Father, thank You this morning for the word You've given unto me and the opportunity I've had to share it. May Your Spirit apply it to our lives. And may we, not only as mothers, as we celebrate Mother's Day today, but may we all live our lives by faith. The God who has called us to trust Him. In Your name we pray. Amen.